Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Well, I have an Easter to you. If you want to hear some Easter old time radio, you can head over to the Amazing World of Radio at amazing.greatdetectives.net. Today, we've got something that's not Easter-related, and that's our 4,350th episode special. And this is something I've wanted to do for the last several months, but I just haven't had the time to do it properly. So I'm really glad that at last for our 4,350th episode, we can do what I wanted to do for the last two specials. And that is bring you an episode of Hollywood Star Time. This was a series sponsored by Frigidaire and began with an exclusive partnership with 20th Century Fox to adapt Fox films to radio that had not ever been adapted before. This partnership ended after 13 weeks, leaving Hollywood Star Time as another radio show among quite a few that were adapting movies to radio. And we actually did play an episode of Hollywood Star Time about 8 years ago. We did a half-hour adaptation of Murder, My Sweet with Dick Powell, which was really different from the film. Today, we are bringing you an episode entitled Hotspot. Now, Hotspot is an adaptation of the film I Wake Up Screaming. We'll talk a little bit more about the history of the title and the various changes after we get back from listening to the episode, but here from July 27th, 1946 is Hotspot.
You're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire presents Hollywood Star Time, direct from Hollywood. Radio versions of the finest motion pictures with Hollywood's greatest stars. Today we bring you the radio production of the 20th Century Fox picture, Hotspot, starring Brian Donlevy and Vincent Price. You're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire, the greatest name in refrigeration, is made only by General Motors. And it is this association of experience with experience, of skill with skill, that makes Frigidaire America's favorite refrigerator today. The 7 million Frigidaires built and sold are the best proof of Frigidaire's outstanding record of dependability, of lasting satisfaction. For back of every great refrigeration principle pioneered by Frigidaire, back of every exciting new Frigidaire feature, back of every exclusive Frigidaire advantage, is one all-important purpose: to keep food good to eat. Remember this when you choose your new refrigerator. Remember the record of millions of Frigidaires in millions of American kitchens. And remember, you're twice as sure with two great names. For Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. Now, Hotspot, starring Brian Donlevy and Vincent Price, with a musical score composed and conducted by Frank Duvall.
In the basement at police headquarters, a man sits in the heat and glare of two blazing white lights. His eyes bleary from lack of sleep, he is still defiant as the two men in the shadows fire questions at him, relentlessly.
Talk, Frankie.
I've told you all I know, cop.
I said talk.
When did you find the body, Frankie?
Look, McDonald, I told
you.
Why
did you do it?
I told you I didn't do it.
You said that before.
I'm saying it again.
Look, Christopher, I'll tell you something about me. They don't get away from me.
Sure, I know you, Ed. Killer Cornell, bloodhound of the homicide squad, keeper of the hot spot.
That's right.
He gets his man, guilty or not guilty.
Now, when did you first meet Vicki Lynn?
All right. I'll take it from the beginning again. But I'm doing it for McDonald here. He's human.
Thanks, Frankie.
Almost. The first time I saw Vicki Lynn was in a restaurant on Lexington Avenue. Lane Evans, the Broadway columnist, was with me when we began taking particular notice of this girl. She was slim, attractive, vital, and with that certain quality that we press agents and promoters call personality. You know something, Evan? That little blonde waitress of ours has something.
She has my mushroom omelet and iced coffee somewhere.
I could take that girl, and inside of 6 months, I'd put her on top of the ladder.
Suppose she doesn't want to be a lady fireman. Then what?
Introduce her to the right people, give her the right clothes and some smart patter, teach her the ropes and the... Oh, miss, miss.
Yes, sir? May I help you?
How would you like to go to the Club El Chico tomorrow night?
How would you like more ice water?
Or cold shoulder?
I'm serious. You're wasting your
time. Time being a waitress. I was meant for fame, success, the bright light. Shall I put it on one check or two?
Okay, one check.
And give it to him. The big Broadway promoter's entertaining the press today.
Oh. So you're a promoter?
My intentions are strictly business. Believe me.
The El Chico Club?
Tomorrow?
Maybe you're right. Maybe I am wasting my time being a waitress.
This is home sweet home for Vicki.
Excuse me, boys. I've got to pick up my key at the desk here. Harry, my key, please. Harry.
Hey, you. Miss Lynn asked for a key.
She'll get it, mister. Relax.
Get that key and be quick about it.
What's the idea? Let go of me. Let go.
Give her the key.
You don't have to get so hard about it. There's the key.
Thank you, Harry. Well, this is the elevator. I've had a grand time, fellas. Thanks a million.
Vicki, this is only the beginning.
Yeah, you had the local peasants drooling in their martinis.
I'll call for you first thing in the morning, huh? Got lots of plans for you.
I'll be waiting for you, Frankie. Good night.
Allow me.
Thank you both so much. Good night.
Night.
Night. Well, she's on her way, Evans. I told you so.
Yeah, the El Chico fairly stood on its
head. Hey, fella. You.
What now, Beetlebro?
What'd you get so sore at me for? She ain't nobody.
Well, she will be. And don't you forget it.
Well?
Is Miss Lynn in?
Which Miss Lynn? They come in pairs like bookends.
Oh, you're her sister.
You're quick.
I'm also Frankie Christopher on weekdays.
Come in.
Hey, you don't like me.
I don't like that line you're handing Vicki about being a big shot.
It's no line. Discovering talent and putting it across is my business.
Oh, Jill, is that Frankie?
Yes, Vicki, it's Frankie.
I'll be out in a minute.
Jill, huh? That's only half a pint.
Frankie is half a Frankenstein.
All ready to go, Frankie. Oh, my sister, Jill.
Hello, sis.
My agent, Frank Christopher.
Hello, age.
Well, let's hurry, Frankie. I'm sorry I'm a little late.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, good night, half pint.
Good night, Mr. Christopher.
Okay, go on, Frankie.
Well, Inspector, Vicki went places, all right. She was asked everywhere, got offers everywhere, posed for magazine covers, swam in water carnivals, even sang with a couple of big-name bands, did all right, too.
All right, so you're a brilliant promoter. Now tell us how you promoted Vicki Lynn into a broken skull.
Now take it easy, Cornell. Let Frankie tell it, huh?
Thanks, Mac.
Well,
one day it was all off, that's all.
What do you mean it was all off?
Vicky got an offer from Hollywood.
And that made you sore?
Sure it made me sore. I'd invested a small fortune building Vicky up. She walks out.
What about that auto ride you took with Vicky Lynn and her sister?
There wasn't any auto ride.
Sorry, Frankie, we know better.
Who told you?
Jill told us herself. She's in the next room. You took a ride with her and Vicky the night before Vicky was to go to Hollywood. Vicky told you that you ought to be glad she was going away.
What does that prove, if anything?
I have her exact words here in my notebook. Here. You'll be glad to get rid of me. Jill's in love with you, Frankie. Haven't you noticed?
Vicky didn't mean what you think, Cornell.
What she meant we'll never know. It's what she said that counts. And she said you'd be glad to be rid of her. You were in love with Jill Lynn.
I don't know about that.
Jill was in love with you.
Don't ask me that. Ask Jill.
We asked Jill.
Yeah?
Yeah. She lied to us. She said she didn't love you.
Well, then she doesn't.
One of you murdered Vicky Lynn to get her out of the way.
Oh. You're not so sure now. Before, it was just me.
Maybe it was both of you.
You're crazy, Cornell. Crazy for the kill.
Maybe you'll both wind up on the hot spot.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? You'd like that, you bitch.
Sit down. When did you find Vicky's body?
It was 5:30 in the afternoon. I came to take her bags to the station. The door was unlocked, and Vicky was lying on the floor. She'd been slugged behind the ear. A minute later, Jill came in, home from work.
Who called the police?
Jill did.
That's your story, is it?
That's my story.
You're a rotten liar.
Well, maybe you're a better liar.
Here's the truth of what happened. You resented Vicky's walking out on you. You got drunk. Your mind became more and more inflamed until you were insane with resentment and jealousy and hurt pride. I say you went up there and killed her in cold blood.
You win.
Yeah, I thought so.
You are a better liar than
I've
I am.
I've got a good mind to kill you myself right now, you...
Cornell! Cornell, let go of him, Ed! Let go!
All right. All right.
Cornell, you're the craziest cop in America, bar none.
You'll burn, Christopher. Remember what I say.
Yeah.
You'll burn.
Okay, Frankie. That's all for today.
You mean I can go, Mac?
Do you talk to the DA a minute?
Oh.
I'll take you to his office. Jill's still in with him, I think.
Great.
Well,
so long, Big Ed Cornell.
You'll burn, Frankie.
Miss Lynn, or Frankie, I'm sorry to have caused you all this distress for nothing, but I think we know the killer now.
Oh.
Well, hooray for Law and Order.
Who is it? Do I know him?
Harry Williams.
What?
The switchboard boy at your apartment house, Miss Lynn.
That sad character?
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm afraid so. He's been missing since the moment of the crime, and he has keys to every apartment in the building. He's gone, but we'll find him all right.
Oh.
Thank you both, and good day.
Yeah. So long, Mr. District Attorney. Come on, Jill. May I take you home, Jill?
No, Frankie. I don't think I ever want to see you again.
Goodbye. No. No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Christopher.
Huh?
Wake up, Christopher.
Huh?
Wake up.
Who's there? Who's there?
They wake up screaming when I'm after them.
Cornell! Get out of this apartment.
Just keeping you posted on the progress of the case.
I don't like rats in my bedroom. Get out.
I found this cigarette crushed out in Vicky's clothes closet, your brand.
Yeah?
One of her slippers was crushed, as if someone had been standing on it, waiting in that closet to murder her.
Headquarters says Harry Williams did it.
I say headquarters is wrong.
And I say beat it, Cornell. Get out.
Sure. But you'll wake up screaming many a night before I get through with you. Count on it.
Good night, Christopher.
May I have the key to my apartment, please? It's number... Harry!
Oh, Miss Lynn. I guess you didn't expect to see me back at the old switchboard.
Well, I thought you'd gone away.
I just went over to see my folks in Brooklyn. I explained everything to the cops. Gee, Miss Lynn, you didn't think I'd do anything like they thought I did you? I liked your sister. I liked her a lot.
Yes. Well, it's good to see you back again. Thanks for the key.
Oh, Miss Lynn.
Hmm?
A guy by the name of Frankie Christopher called about you. I said you weren't in.
That's right, Harry. I'm never in to Mr. Christopher. Remember that.
I sure will.
Remember. Not ever.
How do you do, Miss Lynn?
Oh.
Harry Williams let me in. I'm Ed Cornell, police headquarters.
Wait.
I've been waiting.
I know you.
Of course, I questioned you at headquarters.
Oh, I couldn't see your face then, those lights. But I know you. I know. I once saw you staring into the window of the restaurant where Vicky worked.
Yeah, I get around.
You were watching Vicky.
I look pretty closely at everyone I meet.
What do you want?
Simply an honest admission to a simple fact. You're in love with Frankie Christopher, admit it.
That's ridiculous.
You love him. Your sister knew it. I know it. You know it. Stop covering up for him. It won't work. That man is guilty, and I'm going to get him.
Why don't you leave us alone?
I will, for the time being. Meanwhile, think it over, Miss Lynn. Think it over.
Oh. Hello? Hello, give me Columbus 46718. I want to speak to Mr. Frank Christopher.
Pressed by mounting and multiplying fears, Jill Lynn finally telephoned Frankie Christopher after avoiding him for days because he is linked with the murder of her sister. All evening, Frankie and Jill have been nightclubbing, seeing the prize fights, dancing, and Jill has almost forgotten her many fears. And her fear of the sinister Ed Cornell of police headquarters, who is sworn to prove Frankie's guilt. But now, as they enter her apartment late at night, all her fears return.
I had a perfectly marvelous time, Frankie.
Swell. I'm glad. Well, I'll say goodnight.
Wait.
Huh?
Frankie, you're wondering why I changed my mind and called you.
Been wondering all evening.
Harry Williams is back. The police found him innocent.
So I heard.
Well, then who could have done it?
Oh. Is that why you broke down and called me? To put the quiz on me?
Ed Cornell was here today.
Oh.
If he'd looked around, he'd have found this note. Read it.
Dear Vicky, after what you did last night, the sooner you're gone, the better I'll like it. Frankie. Hey, did I write that?
The day after she dropped you for that Hollywood offer. It could sound awfully incriminating in court.
Yes, couldn't it?
Well, aren't you the quiet little mouse? Or rat?
I'll have that note, if you please.
Here, doesn't mean a thing.
Thank you. I ever see these brass knuckles before?
Nope.
That's odd. I found them in your room.
If you did, you planted them there.
Vicky was killed with a weapon, probably very much like this.
This is a frame and you know it.
Murphy saw me find these brass knuckles in your drawer.
Who saw you put them there? Anybody I know?
Come along, Frankie. I think I have all the evidence I need.
Oh, no, you haven't.
Frankie, you shouldn't have.
Come on now. Let's get out of here.
Frankie, how many more times do we have to sit through this awful silent movie?
One of the best ways I know of hiding out in the big city.
But 7 times. Do you realize it's morning already?
I know, but we had to lie low a few hours. Now, look, I've got to get some money so we can get out of town. You go home, be casual, and pack a few things, and meet me here again in 2 hours. You got it?
I've got it.
We'll leave separately. I'll go first and see if it's all clear. Now, so long, darling.
Frankie.
Yeah?
I guess Vicky was right about us, huh?
Right from the start, honey. So long.
Stockings, slips, enough handkerchiefs. Blouse, a couple of blouses maybe, yeah. And what's this now? These cards. Because I remember. Frankie.
Jill, I knew you'd make it. I've only been waiting through one more of those pictures, brother. Come on, let's go.
Wait a minute. Huh? I found these little cards in a dresser drawer at home. Read them.
Because I remembered. Hey, they all say the same thing.
They were attached to the flowers that were sent to Vicky's funeral.
Yeah? Who sent them?
I don't know. Thought it might be some kind of clue. I don't know.
The flowers came from Keating, the florist. Hey, Jill, we're going to see this florist. I want to know who sent those flowers.
Frankie, I asked Mr. Keating the questions you told me to ask him. Do you know what? A newspaper man bought those flowers. He sends fresh ones every day.
Newspaper man?
Lane Evans, Frankie, the columnist. He liked Vicky.
Lane Evans?
Sure.
How did we happen to leave him out of this? Evans, what do you know about the death of Vicky Lynn?
You're a fine one to ask that.
Why have you been sending flowers to her grave every day?
Oh, so you found out.
I said why.
I promised her I would.
What?
Day of the murder. I'd driven Vicky to the station to pick up her train reservations. We got back to her apartment, she found she'd forgotten her key. I volunteered to crawl in through the fire escape window.
Why, that kid Harry Williams down in the lobby has pass keys.
All right, I was showing off a little. Well, with the moment of parting at hand, she became a little tearful. She asked me not to forget her. I promised her that for the first 2 weeks, I'd send her flowers, wherever she was, so she'd know someone was thinking of her.
Oh. Sorry, kid.
I hope she likes my flowers, wherever she is. Besides, it'll make a great Sunday column. What do you think of it?
It smells. What did you do after that?
Went back to the office. Oh, and by the way, you clever fellow, the kid in the lobby couldn't have let us in anyhow. He wasn't there when I went down the elevator.
He wasn't there? Where was he?
Why don't you ask him?
Wait. Cornell found a cigarette butt in Vicky's closet. My brand. But I saw the same brand on the kid's switchboards. Evans, don't you see? It was him. He was in the closet waiting for her.
Oh.
Now wait, now let's see. All right, I'll need Jill. I'll need McDonald from headquarters. And luck. A lot of luck. And I hope Harry Williams is on the switchboard. And I hope he's half asleep.
Hello? Who is it?
Don't you know, Harry?
No, I don't know.
It's Vicky.
Vicky?
Why did you do it, Harry?
No!
Didn't you love me?
Vicky, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't. I couldn't help it. I didn't.
All right, Inspector McDonald, there's your prisoner.
Right. Okay, Williams.
What? What's that?
Sorry, fella. You're under arrest.
Arrest? Me?
Why did you kill her, Harry?
I didn't mean to. I liked her. I liked her a lot. I just wanted to kiss her goodbye. And she started yelling. And I got scared and hit her with my block of keys. But I didn't mean to.
Sure. When Evans left, you came out and grabbed her.
I lost my head, that's all. You understand, don't you? I told the Dick who traced me to Brooklyn, and he understood.
What Dick?
The big guy. You know.
Cornell. Ed Cornell.
Yeah, that's him. Cornell.
That guy. He knew I was innocent all the time.
Hey, wait a minute, Frankie.
Mac, look, do me one favor. Give me just 5 minutes with Ed Cornell. Hello, Cornell.
Hello, Frankie. Come to give yourself up?
Put down the cards, Cornell. The game is over.
Yeah?
I've just had a chat with Harry Williams.
Learn anything?
You knew he killed Vicki Lynn all the time.
Sure I did. I'm not a fool.
Then why did you want me to fry for it? Why?
Because I loved her.
What?
Yeah. Now go ahead and laugh. Look around you. You haven't looked around you. Pictures, magazine photos, newspaper pictures of her. That oil painting over there, I spent half my savings getting one of the best artists in town to paint it from a photograph of her. When she died, I lit candles for her under that portrait. But laugh, why don't you? Laugh because a big mug like me loved her.
I'm not laughing, Cornell. I'm sorry for you. You're not well. You're crazy. You're sick.
Yeah, I am sick, Christopher. I'm a bundle of nerves.
Go on, Ed.
I used to watch her through the window of the restaurant where she worked. I began to get up enough courage to ask her to marry me someday. I rented this apartment, furnished it for her. Excuse me, I gotta take my medicine. I got to take something for my nerves. My nerves are... There.
Feel like going on, Cornell? You feel like telling me why you hated me? What did I do?
You had to come along, didn't you? You had to change her from an ordinary girl who could have cared about me into a glamour girl. Why didn't you leave her alone? Why didn't you leave her be?
Cornell, I'm turning you in for letting Williams go when you knew he was the killer.
I don't think so.
Think again.
You see, this is my last hand of solitaire, and it looks as if...
Cornell!
As if I'm going to make it.
What was that powder you took? Tell me.
Yes, I've made it. I finally... Vicki, I'm...
Cornell!
Frank, Inspector McDonald said you'd be... Oh!
He was a very sick man, Jill, but he took his medicine. He was in love with Vicki.
Oh. Kind of sorry, Frankie.
Sorry? I don't know. I kind of think he and Vicki will hit it off all right together, wherever they are. Goes for us, too, Half Pint. Goes for us, too.
Thanks to you, Brian Donlevy and Vincent Price, for your great performances on Hollywood Star Time. We'll hear from you again shortly. This radio production came to you direct from Hollywood and was written by Milton Geiger with a musical score composed and conducted by Frank Duvall. The entire production was directed by Jack Johnstone. Hot Spot was presented by Frigidaire through the cooperation of 20th Century Fox, producers of Anna and the King of Siam. Hollywood Star Time is presented each week with the best wishes of your Frigidaire dealer. We invite you to come in and learn about the famous line of Frigidaire home appliances, electric refrigerators, electric ranges, electric water heaters, home freezers, and a wide variety of refrigerating and air conditioning equipment for homes, farms, stores, offices, and factories. Here again are Brian Donlevy and Vincent Price.
Wendell, since you've done nothing about it, Vincent and I would like to put in a really sincere word of thanks to our top flight supporting cast. Lorene Tuttle, who played Jill, Gloria Blondell, Ted Von Else, Harry D'Artel, David Ellis, and to Elliot Reed, who played Harry Williams.
Well, that's mighty nice, Brian, and I'm sure they all mean to thank you. And speaking of plugs, here, Vincent, do you mind...
What? I should say I don't, Wendell.
What is it, Vince?
For the bill for next week's Hollywood Star Time, listen. Robert Young and Joan Caulfield in that charming comedy, The Major and the Minor.
To me, that sounds good.
And so help me, it'll sound good on the air. Thanks, Brian, Don Levy, and Vincent Price.
Good night.
Good night. Elliot Reed appeared through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures. This is Wendell Niles speaking for Frigidaire, made only by General Motors. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. A solid adaptation into half an hour. Vincent Price's role in this is interesting. It's truly an example of someone being given a role on radio that they would never have been given on screen. Price would become known for playing heavies in Hollywood, but not quite like Ed Cornell, who was a very large man. He was originally played by Laird Krieger. However, you can become anything that you've got the talent to portray over radio, and I think Price did a very solid job portraying the sinister nature of Ed Cornell, and Vincent Price could definitely do sinister. Now, it should be noted that Krieger had actually passed away in 1944 at the age of 31, and Price delivered the eulogy at his funeral. And one biographer noted that Price had taken on multiple roles over radio that had originally been played by Krieger. The main plot points of the story were well done, although in an abbreviated fashion. The film version gave these events more time and allowed the story to breathe. It established atmosphere and really allowed Krieger to flesh out how sinister Cornell was. One of my favorite scenes is when Frankie Christopher is giving Cornell a ride home, and Cornell's in the passenger seat happily describing how Frankie Christopher is going to be executed. I Wake Up Screaming was also a very visual film, and that explains some of the more awkward spoken exposition we get in the radio version. Also, Cornell's suicide at the end was a little less explicit on film than in the radio version, perhaps due to the production code. The film version starred Victor Mature, Betty Grable, and Carol Landis in addition to Krieger. It was initially titled I Wake Up Screaming, which was the title of the novel the film was based upon. And then it was changed to Hotspot. But this was a film which was really new territory for Betty Grable, who was best known for playing in musicals and light comedies. And so when they did a test screening, they had audiences walking out because they expected it to be a musical. So to make it clear what type of film this was, they re-retitled it I Wake Up Screaming, as well as making some other changes to the film. The film is an underrated noir classic and worth tracking down for Krieger's performance alone. In addition, you get to see how this played out on the silver screen with a solid Hollywood cast in the character roles, including Alan Mowbray, Alan Joslin, and, of course, Elisha Cook Jr. One fun piece of trivia I found out while researching this is that this film was released in October of 1941, which was the same month that the Maltese Falcon was released in theaters. So technically, this was the second best film that Elisha Cook Jr. made that month. But given how good the Maltese Falcon was, that's no knock on this one. All right, well now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to go ahead and thank Susan. Susan has been one of our Patreon supporters since October 2018, currently supporting the podcast at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more. per month. Thank you so much for your support, Susan, and that will do it for today. On Tuesday, be sure to listen for the return of Ellery Queen, but join us back here tomorrow for The Adventures of the Falcon, where...
This party will pay off plenty, Waring. I know, I've already seen him. We've got all the angles covered.
We?
Got a partner. Of course, that means we'll have to split three ways, but it's worth it. Now, this partner of mine has a swell in, see? What we need is someone to handle the detail work. Tried another guy, but he couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm. What made you come to me with a swindle like this?
Well, look, you don't have to take that tone with me, Waring.
Oh, I don't? All right, now get up.
Hey, what's going on in here, Mr. Waring? I was cleaning the hall, and I heard a fuss.
Oh, it's nothing serious, George. Will you get rid of this for me?
Huh?
Character on the floor. Throw him out.
Oh. Come on, buddy. Get up. Come on, pal. I have... Mr. Waring.
Yeah?
I think there's something the matter with him.
I know. He ran into my fist.
No. I mean, I can't feel his heartbeat.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.